you. I'd love for you to go grab it and bring it back so we can walk through these scriptures that I'm about to read together. We believe that the Bible is the living Word of God. And when we jump into it, we jump into it with expectation of encouragement, of conviction, of meeting the God who made us when we read it. So if you have your Bibles, you can pause the video, go get them, and come back. We're going to be reading out of 1 Peter today. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 25. Hear these words. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Like that of a lamb without blemish or spot, he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. This is the good news that was preached to you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today we're continuing our sermon series called Grow Up. And I have to admit something to you. When Chris told me about the sermon series, I was so excited. That's because grow up has been one of my favorite phrases in my vocabulary for quite some time. And then I heard Chris talk about how that phrase has been used to belittle and shame people. And my excitement over getting to tell a bunch of people to just grow up immediately turned to conviction. Thankfully, we serve a God who doesn't shame us into spiritual growth or belittle us into submitting to his will. Yeah, when we take a look at the book of 1 Peter, it is challenging because it does tell us that we need to grow up. But hopefully as we continue to study these scriptures, we'll start to understand that growing in our faith isn't a burden. It's a beautiful gift from God, from the God who empowers us to live a life that's pleasing to him and a life that can fulfill our deepest desires. It's that same precious gift of God that Peter's talking about and calling us to recognize in our passage of scripture for today. Verse 13 says, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So the word therefore in scripture always points us back to the previous passage. And what Peter's calling us back to are the words that we read last week in the sermon that Chris preached. Our hope comes from the mercy, love, and joy we now have because of God's justifying grace. We know he has saved us, and that gives us hope. And while we were once far from God and shackled to our sin, God stepped in with his love. He reached in to the darkest parts of us, the ugly things that we don't want anyone to see. He looked at us and he said, I love you anyway. He longs to save us and wash us of our sins. That hope of a new life, the hope of grace, is everything to us as Christians. And this Easter season reminds us of the magnitude of God's grace. Verses 18 and 19 show us the price of this gift. It says, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. And when we take a look at the gospel accounts, we see that Christ stepped out of the portals of heaven. He was born in a lowly manger. He took on humanity. He withstood temptation and lived without sin. He didn't deserve to die, but he went to the cross willingly, a vile, gruesome death. He was betrayed by his best friends. He experienced the worst of shame and mockery. He was beaten to a pulp in order that we could be saved. What grace, what a gift that God has given us. But Jesus didn't stay dead. He left the tomb bare and conquered death, giving us hope that one day our bodies will be resurrected and we will spend eternity in his presence. Understanding this grace is so important to our situation right now. COVID-19 has left many people without hope. And it's so sad to see that many people are dying around the world. People are isolated and they miss their everyday life. But when things look bleak, we can look at the gift of grace that God has given us. Grace leads to hope, so we must remember the gift of salvation. Taking another look at verse 13, we see that this hope isn't something that we keep in the back of our minds. It's something that calls us to action. Grace leads to hope, and hope leads to holiness. Verse 14 says, "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance." Through God's grace, we are invited into his family. But part of what it means to be a son or daughter is to be obedient. This is the action that we're called to. But we don't have to do this on our own. Peter uses the language of a family to show us that we are empowered and supported by our loving Heavenly Father. God shows us the error of our ways, the foolishness of our past. He gives us understanding to leave our ignorance behind and grow in the faith. We have the hope and promise that God doesn't leave us where he found us. He wants to continue to empower us to live holy lives. And that's why verses 15 and 16 say, "But as he who called you is holy, you also should be holy in your conduct, since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" And we read that and we think that is such a tall order, to be holy as God is holy. And these verses show us something very important, though. We have to remember who's calling us. The Lord of all is calling, the perfect one, blameless and fully good. If he's the one calling us, the task of holiness is far from impossible. And that's because he's calling us to himself. He's continually asking us to come deeper and deeper into relationship with him. And his proximity, his power, being close to him, that's what gives us the power to live a life free from sin, a life of holiness. So one definition of the word holy is set apart. When we're called by God, he takes us out of the life we were once in and gives us a new one. That's part of the new birth that we looked at last week. Luckily, this new life of purity and righteousness doesn't come from our own efforts and striving. Praise God, because we don't have the power to overcome the sin that shackles us on our own. That power comes from the Holy Spirit at work in us. If the God of goodness is living and working inside of us, and we're cooperating with him, we can be holy people, set apart, different, pure, and whole. We are to be active in leaving behind the evil and sinful and looking towards the hope we have in Christ and the transformation he wants to produce in us. And I pray that you have the hope that we can be holy through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, many of us feel like living a different life is impossible. We may think that we'll never shake this sin that we're struggling with. But how dare we say something is too big for our God to handle? And some of you have been living this life of faith for a very long time, and you might have feel like you've plateaued. You're just not experiencing the growth that you were. But have hope that God will continue to help us grow. That's the promise that He gives us in His Word. Grace leads to hope. Hope leads to holiness. And holiness leads to love. Verse 22 says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Once we get here to verse 22, we see a shift in Peter's writing. Up to this point, he's been explaining our personal relationship with Christ. Now he transitions to show us how our personal growth impacts other people. And Peter is teaching us that the result of our new birth and continued spiritual growth is love. When we continually receive the love and mercy of God, we can let it flow from us to other people. Christ told us that the law and prophets rests on our ability to know and act in love towards God and our neighbor. It's this love for other people that shows that the work of God is coming about in our own hearts. I said earlier that holy means being set apart. And this isn't referring to be completely separated from society or something like that. Instead, God invites us into His family so we can be active in His work that He does in the world. We're to embody this grace that has been given to us so that we can be a blessing to all those people we come in contact with. And we can spread holiness to the world. Specifically in these verses, we're told to love each other with an earnest brotherly love. Peter's talking about loving your church like family. Sibling love is its care, its protection, its encouragement, togetherness, and incorporation. And Peter is telling us that we need to grow up. And that if we are to grow up, we need a healthy family to help us do that. God intended the church to be a community dedicated to helping each other become more holy. And it's a place where people help you become more like Jesus. In order to serve our community well, we need to foster a church that loves and cares for one another. And I'd love to share an example from our church that I think this brotherly love is really being practiced. Our men's prayer group meets weekly for a time of fellowship, prayer, and devotion. And I've gotten to see firsthand how this group operates out of brotherly love. They bear each other's burdens and they genuinely care for their brothers. This group of men, with the help from some of our other volunteers, started our Wednesday night fellowship meal. And we feed people every week. Not only that, but the people who attend have a community they can belong to. The men's prayer group took the loving bond that they had shared and they shared it with the people in our town. I've been lucky that they've loved me enough to ask me to be involved. And now I'm getting to be loved by them to spread Christ's love to those people at those meals every week. I'm so blessed by that. It's one of the most important things we do at the church, this Wednesday night meal. And it all happened because a group of men decided to love each other with brotherly love and spread it to the wider community. Growing in our faith means loving our brothers and sisters earnestly. Verses 23 through 25 says, since you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God, for all flesh is like grass, and its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Peter, again, he's taking us back to that new birth, reminding us that we were born again through the living Word of God. In the beginning, God's Word brought forth life. His Word had the power to create. Likewise, His Word, the gospel of Jesus Christ, has the power to create a new life in us. And Peter is calling us to build our lives on the Word of God because it will last. Our hope is an eternal truth that will never perish. I've really recognized the finiteness of life more than I ever have during these hard times. Hearing our governor read off names of so many people that are dying, just, it's really bad to hear, and it's shaking me to my core. God has given us these words of Scripture to point us to something that lasts, something we can trust that will continue to give us life even when the world seems so dark. When we dedicate ourselves to the Word of God, when we let it influence everything we do, we're able to grow into the people God wants us to be. Grace leads to hope. Hope leads to holiness. Holiness leads to love. And we can know that God's promises, His Word, the Bible, will continue to lead us and help us grow forever. I would love to spend some time today reflecting on that with you. I'm going to ask you some questions. If you feel comfortable, would you just bow your head and just think about these words of Scripture that we've read, and think about the work that God wants to do in your life. God, we ask ourselves, do we recognize the gift of grace that you've given us? Have we experienced your love in that way? Love that saves us. And God, if we have, I pray that we would always remember it. God, is that grace leading to hope? Because that's what you want it to do. God, we need to stop and ask ourselves, yes, we've been saved, but are we being obedient to you? Are we becoming holy people? Are we doing what you tell us to do? God, help us do that. Help us to look to you and allow you to send your Spirit to us and empower us to live a life that's free from sin. God, is our holiness translating to love? Love for our family, our church family, and to the rest of the world. If it's not, please help us to love earnestly with a love that's sibling-like, that incorporates people into a family, because we know that's going to help us grow. And lastly, God, are we building our lives on Scripture? Are we turning to the Bible for answers and for help during these tough times? If we're not, show us the need for that. Show us that your Word will always be there. Show us that it's imperishable and that it will continue to help us grow into the people that you want us to be. God, I pray that these words of Scripture would convict us to action. I pray that we would recognize all of the gifts you've given us. Thank you for your Word this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.